And so let us be encouraged by God's holy word, and then we'll get into the time of prayer. And so tonight's message entitled Expectant Prayers. Expectant prayers, praying, expecting God to do something, praying, looking forward to God to respond in a certain way. And that when I pray, do I expect God to answer my prayers? Well, David did. So let's go to Psalm 5. We'll start there. Psalm 5. May this be a good kind of a primer for our hearts that will maintain spiritually all of 2025. But I do appreciate just the sweet psalmist of Israel. Of course, King David from the book of Psalms. And let's go to Psalm chapter 5. And of course, David is writing God's inspired word. So praise God for his, for God's word regardless. But I truly appreciate the tenderness of King David as a man of God, as he sings to the Lord, as he prays to the Lord, as he praises the Lord. But Psalm 5, and I appreciate the word of God in verse 3 would be our main text this evening. Psalm 5, verse 3, and the word of God says, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up." That's a joy that even as we humbly pray to God, first thing in the morning. And so, yes, it's wonderful to have faithful prayers. It's a necessity to have unceasing prayers. It's a joy to have continual prayers, morning after morning after morning. It's a privilege to have powerful prayer. It's a thrill to have sacrificial prayer, early prayer. But not just that, but also from the scriptures, it is an absolute blessing, but also necessity to have expectant prayers. That as David here prays early in the morning, he's not just praying and then that's it, but throughout the rest of the day, he's looking up. He's waiting for the Lord to answer. He has given his petition to the Lord with his sincerest of heart. He has honored God with the fruits of his lips, Lord, praising him and praying to the Lord. And now he is eagerly anticipating God to answer. That's what he means by when he says this, "And I will look up." What a reminder for us. What an encouragement. May we adopt as best as we can expectant prayers in 2025. Let us pray. Abba, Father, what a joy to be here, Lord. I thank you so much, Father, that as we pray, your word tells us you hear us. We don't have to cry to you at a certain decibel, Father, for you to hear us. But, Father, we can cry to you when our heart is just overwhelmed. We can cry to you, Father, when we are lost for words. We can cry to you, Father, when we don't know what else to say. We can cry to you, Father, early in the morning. We can cry to you late at night. We can cry to you, Lord, when there's no one else that would hear us. Father, you hear us. And what a comfort to know, Father, that as we pray, even as King David prayed, we can pray faithfully. Faithfully, we ought to pray faithfully. We ought to pray without ceasing. We ought to pray, Father, to praise you. But Father, we can also pray expectantly, to look forward to your response, Lord, that I can trust in you no matter what. And so, Father, even now, as we praise you with prayer, we ask, Holy Spirit of God, anoint these lips of clay, that you would speak to hearts even tonight, Lord. Hide me behind the cross and bless each and every one of those who are here tonight. Father, we all have, we all pray to you to some degree. We're just very thankful for that. But help all of us, Father, to strengthen our prayer life, our prayer testimony, our prayer resolve, the expectancy of our prayer. Lord, we love you tonight, and bless the time of the teaching and the preaching of thy holy word. May the Lord Jesus Christ be glorified. In his name we ask. Amen. Praise the Lord. Wonderful words here of King David. and really just confessing to the Lord from his heart every morning. The idea that as the morning dawns, God will hear his voice, will find his voice crying out to him. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And David doesn't just leave it at that. He says in verse 3, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord." Of course, he's speaking to God. "In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." Tremendous confession of King David, saying that he expects God to respond, to answer some way. David looking up the rest of the day after his prayer time with eager anticipation, expecting that God will heed his cries. Very similar to how Jesus says it in Luke 21, verse 28, when Jesus says, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then what? Look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." The idea is that God answers from above, and God delivers, God provides in his timing, in his will. And so it kind of got me thinking, expectant prayers. Again, in addition to just faithful prayers, praying all the time. And we ought to be praying all the time. We ought to be faithfully praying, sacrificially, joyfully, without ceasing. Amen? But may our prayers also be expectant prayers. And I kind of think of the word expectant. I don't know about you, but even when I think of the word expectant, typically I would think of an expectant mom, right? A prego, okay, a pregnant mom. Okay, someone who is, of course, we call them an expectant mom because they're expecting what? A baby. That's the whole point. So they're expecting to have their baby, right? And so the idea is any discomfort that mom might have to endure for 9 months, you know, all that morning sickness, all that, I don't know, hormone fluctuations, all that pain, exhaustion, nausea, lack of sleep, all the irritability, you know, mom's guts being pushed aside to make way for the baby to come, you know, and all that extra work that goes in prepping for the, you know, I don't know, the baby's new room, you know, buying all the new furniture, rearranging the house, painting this room, getting this out, you know, putting this away, getting new baby clothes, all the baby showers that take place, you know, all not to say the drama, but all the activity that goes along with preparing for a baby to come. All this the mom gladly does. Why? Well, because she's expecting the baby. Baby's not here yet, but she's expecting the baby, right? And then the idea is all that work, excuse me, all that dedication that mom does is in good faith that the baby will show up. And so, in fact, you can even argue that the only reason everything is happening that's been going on is because mom is expecting the baby. To be expectant, it's a wonderful thing to know that it's not happened yet, but you plan for it to happen. You plan for it to be there. The idea here, as Scripture tells us, to think of expectant prayers, where David is praying and perhaps God hasn't answered yet. But just like expectant mom, you know, he's anticipating God to answer, and he's looking up for it. He's keeping an eye out so that when God does answer, he's not going to miss it, okay? It might not be at a time or a place that in a way that he's been asking, but he expects God to answer. And that is a very awesome thought, a very awe-inspiring thought, when he says here in the Scriptures, "In the morning will I direct my prayer to thee." Scripture here in verse 3 is very intentional in the verbiage and the language used. It's very similar to how David directs and orders his morning prayer to God, the same way that, in fact, the Old Testament priests would direct and order the animal sacrifices to God. And so David is drawing a very strong parallel in how the priests in his day would order and direct the animal sacrifices to God. Everything had to be set up right, okay? It had to be ordered right. The animal had to be flayed and had to be ordered in the right setup. You know, the fire had to go on the altar. The wood then went under the fire. The animal head and the fat goes on the wood. In many ways, our prayers delight God in the same way that animal sacrifices did. And so therefore, the idea here that David is giving in Psalm 5 is that David is preparing, at least he's confiding to God from his heart, David is preparing his prayers each morning to God with the same expectancy, the same joy, the same discipline, the same purpose as the priests were in preparing their animal sacrifices to God, in this case, specifically the sweet savor offerings. Okay, I just want to share this. Because David is not expecting God to answer him because of his pride. David is not expecting God to answer his prayers because of who David is, but it's because of who God is and how God desires to be approached. Okay, this is where David draws his faith in the promise of the Word of God, not in his own pride, saying, "Hey, I'm going to pray to God. I'm going to look for God to answer because I'm so great." No, it's not because of him. It's because of who God is. It's not because of pride. It's because of God's promise. Let's go to Leviticus real quick here. Leviticus chapter 1, and this is the example that David, you know, in a way you can kind of reference this here, how it draws from the priests in the Old Testament, how they would direct and how they would order the animal sacrifices to please God. Okay, so let's go to Leviticus chapter 1. We'll start at the very start of Leviticus 1:1. Let's go there. Leviticus 1, verse 1. Here God is specifically describing the sweet savor offerings. Okay, now before I get kind of too far ahead of myself, when I think of sweet savor, that smell, I don't know, sometimes I could be walking in the Walmart parking lot and then I get a whiff of something that smells just amazing. It could be the Panda Express. It could be the, further down is the, what is that? We just passed it. Texas Roadhouse, you know, or some, you know, you smell in the parking lot that grill, fragrance. I go, oh yeah, or it could be the Red Robin. Okay. But anyway, I'm a big food guy. Okay. So when I think of sweet savor, I think of some kind of a grill aroma. Okay. And it kind of gets me going. I'm like, oh, I can't even hear the sizzle, but I can imagine it. Okay. But the idea is it delights me. It kind of revitalizes me, kind of gets me going. And so when I think here, God is about to describe, and before we just say Leviticus, that's double yawn, okay? As we see what God is going to say here, let's begin with the end in mind. And look at verse 9. God is describing what the priest, you know, what he would want the priest to do, okay, with this animal offering. But notice the second half of verse 9. He says here, shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet, what's that word? Savor unto the Lord. And this is pretty amazing because God is giving us here in chapter 1 of Leviticus a very strong preference. I mean, God is showing forth his personality. Okay, God has personality. He has preference. He has desires. He has likes. He's using adjectives. And he's saying this animal, just this animal that's going to be flayed and then put on the altar and burnt, okay? To God, it is going to be a sweet savor unto him. I mean, this is pretty amazing. Okay, so here's the context. This is a sweet savor offering. This is a voluntary offering that God is going to describe here in Leviticus chapter 1. In other words, the offerer was not commanded to do it. You don't have to do it. It is completely 100% voluntary, where if the offerer wanted to praise God, he didn't have to, but if he wanted to praise God, this is how he would do it. If he wanted to thank God for some reason, maybe he got a raise, maybe, you know, something, you know, blessed his family. That was a big blessing. He wants to just thank the Lord. He wants to praise God. He wants to worship God. Okay. So whatever would prompt the offerer to do it, this is how he would do it. Okay. So this is not a mandatory. It is not a forced sacrifice. This is a completely voluntary sacrifice. Hence, we call it the sweet savory offerings. But let's go to verse 1 just to kind of set the context here, set the stage here. And so God is telling Moses, tell this to everyone else so everyone knows how this would happen. And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd, and of the flock. So it must not be a wild animal. It has to be one of your animals, okay? Verse 3, if his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. So it's got to be a male, not a female, and it's got to be a good offering, okay? Not just some sickly herd animal, okay? It's got to be one of the best. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. So he doesn't have to do it, but if he wants to, this is what God wants him to do. All right, makes sense? And so if God has really blessed you, say, either we are living back in those Old Testament times and God has really blessed you, maybe you've been really praying and for years and God brought has answered those prayers, or maybe something just huge happened in your life and you just want to thank God for it, and you feel so inclined to do that, this is how you would express your gratitude, your worship to God, by taking one of the best of the herd animals and killing it and offering this to God. Okay, so verse 4. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priests, Aaron's sons, shall sprinkle the blood, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into his pieces. So there's a very specific way that the priest had to prepare the animal to give it to God. He had to order it. He had to direct it. Had to set it up in order. And the sons of Aaron, the priest, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priests, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head and the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water. And the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And so every time this was done according specifically to this way, God is saying he would accept that offering and not just accept it grudgingly accept it. But God is giving Moses very specific instructions that, Moses, you tell everyone else, if they follow this, when they bring that offering and the priest would flay it and offer it and set it up and order it the way that I'm telling you now in verse 8 and verse 9, to me, this offering will be a sweet savor to God. I mean, this is what God is telling Moses to make sure everyone knows this. To a spectator, to an onlooker, it might just be an animal that's being burnt, okay? But to God, it's a sweet savor. And so when God sees that, and God sees and smells that animal being offered, it blesses God's heart. I mean, this is tremendous. It is a joy to know that God is telling him, do this. Whenever you do this, it will always be a sweet savor to me. I will always accept it. I will always delight in it. Do we realize how delightful a sweet savor is to God? All that work, all that prep that happens. In fact, if you go back with me to Psalm 5, let's go back to verse 1. All the way back to verse 1. All that prep work, if you will. Again, David is drawing that parallel to how the priests would offer the sacrifice. This is how his prayer is going to be. So kind of the same mindset. And so David is kind of using that same mold, the same way the Old Testament priests would order and direct their sacrifices and set it up the way it should on the altar to God, to please God with a sweet savor. This is how David goes through his morning routine, except he's not offering an animal like the priests. He's offering his prayers, but the same setup. So look at verse 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. And then in verse 3, he talks about the morning. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. And so, but even before the morning prayer leaves his lips, in David's heart, he's been preparing already, maybe throughout the night, and maybe even before the sun has dawned up, desiring to give God his whole heart. He's crying out to God. He's not holding anything back. And all that prep work, he's doing it. Why? He's ordering it because he wants to offer his prayers and praises to God as a sweet savor offering. Okay, all of this, not because of his pride, but because of God's promise. For years, I was very blessed to call my mom and dad on their birthdays. I still do for my mom for her birthday, special occasions. You know, I'll call them just to wish them well. It kind of just happened that way, and to the point where I was expected to call them, And then when I called him, I expected them to pick up because I was gonna wish him well. And then it became, you know, Mother's Day, Father's Day. It came Christmas, Chinese New Year, regular New Year. Okay. Now sometimes that was a little iffy. Like, well, should I just kind of call? Now it's Chinese New Year now, and so. But the idea is, if it's a special occasion, the expectation is that I would call. I didn't have to, but I wanted to. But my mom and dad would expect me to call, and we would pray together over the phone. We would fellowship together, spend time on the phone together. Sometimes I would be busy, and I would find it hard to, you know, to get the time to call them. But because it was expected of me to do that, I just made myself do it. You know, I kind of found a time and just kind of, you know, make time for it, carve out the time. And no matter how busy I was, I made a point to call them when I was expected to call them. Of course, my parents were never too busy to answer. And I would always delight my parents when I called them. Would always delight them. And as an extra bonus to myself, after we got done talking and praying, I felt super blessed. I felt very, very blessed that I had a chance to do that. Now that my dad is gone, I wish I could call him more. But the idea kind of got me thinking here with expectant prayers. As we pray to the Lord desires us to pray. The Lord misses us when we don't pray. And when we ask the Lord from our heart, we can look up and expect him to answer. Let's go to verse 3. We'll kind of end it there again. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. If I haven't first preceded my looking up with prayer, I really have no business to be looking up. But if I've prayed to the Lord and given him all my heart, God wants me to look up. I'm waiting for God to answer. God expects me to expect him to respond, because God desires when I pray to the Lord, my prayer will be, oh, like that sweet savor unto the Lord, just like the priestly sacrifices as we order it up for the Lord. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Abba, Father, it's just a short reminder, Lord, just the thrill that we can pray to you without ceasing. We can pray to you, Father, in faith. We can pray to you, Father, Lord, just intimately, Lord, and continually, Lord. And we need to do all that, Lord. But what a reminder and a blessed thought to know that we can pray and should pray to you also expectantly. Lord, just to know that whenever we do open our hearts to you, Lord, you hear us and that you respond, Father. And what a way and a good habit, Lord, a good prayer ritual to do it at the start of every morning, that we would praise you with our heart and our petitions, Lord. And then the whole day, we are looking up, Lord, with eager anticipation, keeping an eye out for how you would see fit to answer these requests. And Lord, what a wonderful thought, Lord. I thank you for King David. Lord, we thank you for the word, the promise of the scriptures, Lord. And what a, Lord, what a mind-blowing truth to consider my prayers. Lord, it's just little old me, but Father, to you, our heart's desire, the tears that we cry, and the voice that we share and we call out to you, Father, it's a sweet savor to you, Father. It is. I can't even wrap my mind around that. Help us to always be delightful to you, Lord, and delight you, Lord, with our prayers. And we just ask that you would bless 2025 this year, Lord, as we would seek to praise you every day. In Jesus' name, all of God's people said, amen. Thank you, friends. We just take